Hello, George?
Hello there, Creepline.
Oh, great. Okay, so this is me. It's such an honor to talk to you. I've got two really great stories, if you'll indulge me for a second.
I shall. But who is me, and where is me calling
Nina,
from
Sacramento, California.
Okay, Nina, go ahead.
Okay. The first one is the creepiest phone call story you'll ever hear. And it just brought back this memory when I was listening to you. I'm a long-time listener to your show. It was back in around 78 or 79. My girlfriend was just newly hired as a long-distance operator for Pacific Bell. And, I mean, she'd been at the job for maybe about a year by then. Anyway, she came home. I was over at her house when she came home, and her face was just white. And her mom came up to her, and she goes, what's going on, Mary? What's the matter? And she goes, you won't believe what happened at work today. And we're like, what? She goes, I can't hardly talk about it, she said. And she would just start crying, and, you know, and she goes, so finally she started telling us the story. Well, what happened was that she, you know, she's going through her day, just normal, all these calls coming in, and she gets this call from this little boy, and she thinks it's really cute. You know, here's this little boy on the line, and he's asking for a person-to-person call to, like, I can't remember the names, but, like, to Jonathan Smith from Joshua Smith, right?
Yeah.
So she patches him through, and this was kind of like where they had to sit at the board with the plugs and so forth. And anyway, so she patches him through, and the mother answers. And when she says, hi, this is a long distance, this is Mary, the long distance operator. I have a person-to-person call to, you know, to Jonathan Smith from Joshua Smith. And she starts screaming and drops the phone. And the husband comes over, picks up the phone, and asks who this is. And she repeats information. He goes, is this some kind of sick joke? We just buried our son today. And Joshua was the child that had just died, and they had just buried. And apparently Jonathan was their baby. And Mary was just, and then by the time she was patching the call through, the other line dropped. You know, whoever the Jonathan was, or Joshua was, you know, the little boy. So she went and immediately plugged back in to try to find out where this call was coming from. And she said, you know what, you have to, there is always a point from where that call is coming from that we can go back and reference to. She said there was nothing.
Nothing.
It was like it came out of thin air. There was
nothing. Sounds like an old Twilight Zone movie.
She said, yeah, but she said, you know, you couldn't believe it unless it happened to her. But she tried really hard to trace that call back, but there was absolutely nowhere it came from. So, anyway, and then I have this wonderful ending to a ghost story that I called in years ago, where I had been, there's a couple times that I had tried to adopt a baby, and the first time the adoption fell through at the last minute, I was brokenhearted, you know, and then the second time I tried to adopt a baby, got clear up to the end, and then I found out that the mother had adopted the baby out to somebody else at the last minute, and I didn't even know if it had been a boy or, you know, because the whole time she was, like, promising this baby to us. And then,
what a letdown that was, huh?
What's that?
What a letdown that must have been.
Oh, you can't even imagine. And so, you know, I cried. I never cried so hard in my whole life. I was just devastated because I just felt like this is our last chance. And I remember crying so hard that I fell asleep on the sofa. And this is what I called and told you about, was because it was like some kind of ghost thing that you were talking about that night. Well, I very distinctly, this child had kissed me and woke me up on my cheek. And it was like, at the time, I didn't know if the baby was a boy or girl. So I was assuming that this was the spirit of the child that had been adopted out, wanting to let me know, because it was such a strong impression. I can't explain to you. It was like imprinted on my spirit, that when this child kissed me on my cheek, that it was like relaying this information how much she loved me and how grateful. It was like this empowering love that she had for me. Sorry, but, you know, it's emotional, you know. And that I couldn't understand whether she was grateful that I loved her so much, how much she knew I wanted her, you know. Well, I found out that this baby was a boy and that had been born, and I couldn't, you know, understand why this spirit of this little girl came to me. And it was like she had these beautiful long curls, and she was like in a little Victorian almost dress. And, I mean, just everything. Like, closed my eyes, I could see her clearly as yesterday.
Yeah, like she was right there.
Right. Well, a few years later, my mom had, you know, my mother had a stroke not long afterwards, and we decided that my mother was going to be our daughter. We, because she had dementia. And so we took on that responsibility, and we said, well, you know, this is our child. This will be our child. She's our daughter, because we knew that we couldn't do both. You know,
right.
She was pretty
Yeah, it's
clear.
Too much, sure.
Right. And then later on, she developed cancer. And so, you know, we did the whole thing with hospice. You know, we took care of her at home. And she was so sweet. I'd go in and I'd say, and I'd talk to her and I'd say, Mom, so what's the first thing you're going to do when you know, go over to the other side, to go to heaven? She'd look at me and she'd go, well, I'm going to go find your father, and I'm going to go give him a big kiss. And I said, oh, Mom, I know that, you know. I said, so, you know, so what's the second thing you're going to do? And she just looked at me and she goes, Nina, I'm going to go find you and Joel a baby. And I just like, you know, she was so sincere. But, you know, when you have dementia, it's that childlike sincerity, you know.
Of course.
And she was so convinced. And I would just kind of like well up, because I know, you know, it's so hard to adopt, and it's like takes years, and it takes so much money, and it just is so difficult. And, you know, we just thought, well, we're past the time that we can do this and everything. But she was so sincere about it, and I would just think, oh, Mom, you just don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I'd back out of the room, and I'd, you know, go off, and I'd cry and everything. And then she passed away, and she passed away on Christmas Eve. And 3 months later, on her birthday, we found out about a baby through word of mouth. And then, like, 2 months after that, we had a baby in our home. And it was a little girl.
Little girl? And
yeah,
how old is she now?
A little girl. She's going on 4 years old. She thinks she's 16.
Does she have curly hair?
She looks just like that little spirit.
I love it.
The older she gets, I can, you know, she's just identical to the little.
What a great story.
And, you know, there's just so much powerful love.
You're putting water in my eyes right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great story.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you never realize how much your parents love you until you have I'd hold her and I'd just, you know, I'd rock her at night and I'd look down at her and I thought, I just cried because I thought, my mother did this for me. You know, she would do all this work for me.
Well, go back, sit back, and listen to the rest of the show, okay?
I sure will.
Okay, thanks.